Bicom podcast of 2020. I'm Richard Pater, the director of Bicom in Israel, and it's with great pleasure that I'm joined today by former Brigadier General Michael Herzog. Michael, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
For regular listeners will know, but I'll give just a short background that that Michael Herzog is a senior visiting fellow at Bicom. He also has a very impressive military career, having served as the head of the strategic planning division for the IDF and as a senior military advisor for several ministers of defense. Today, we're going to discuss the fallout of the assassination on from Friday of Qassem Soleimani, the head of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, and responsible for the Al-Quds force, which is kind of directing their engagement to military operations across the region, from Gaza in the south here to Syria and Lebanon, across to Iraq and even Yemen. If I could start, Michael, by asking you just to kind of place the assassination in its recent context.
Yes, it's important to look at the background and the context for the targeting of Qassem Soleimani. We are talking about in the last few months, we've seen Iran apply counter pressure against the U.S. Economic sanctions in both the nuclear field and in the region. We've seen a series of violent actions by Iran against American interests, American allies, and so on, beginning with some violent actions in the Strait of Hormuz, and then targeting shooting down a U.S. drone, and then targeting the biggest oil field in the world in Saudi Arabia, and then at least 11 incidents of firing at U.S. Bases in Iraq where U.S. forces and contractors were deployed. And throughout this period, there was very little American response. Other than economic sanctions, we've not seen any real response. Not when the Iranians shot down a drone, not when they targeted the Saudi oil fields and so on. And the feeling in Iran was that the U.S. is deterred from war, and that's why they can push the envelope and provoke and do more and more such violent actions. However, the Americans did have one red line, which was they stated the red line, and that was the hitting of Americans, American soldiers, American citizens, American assets, and so on. And that line was crossed last week when Shiite militias fired at an American camp and killed one American civilian contractor and injured some soldiers. And that crossing of the line finally pushed the United States to respond violently, kinetically, and it attacked several targets of Qatayb Hezbollah, brigades of Hezbollah, and Iraqi Shiite militias with bases in Iraq and Syria, killing dozens of combatants there, and that started the escalation. As a response, Iran was behind the storming of the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, and at that point, the U.S. Escalated to the top of the escalatory ladder by targeting Qassem Soleimani. So I think the background is important to understand, namely that when it comes to this showdown between the U.S. and Iran, the U.S. has been tolerant for a long time, not really doing anything beyond economic pressure, up to a point where it felt that its red lines were crossed and that this necessitated the response, and that led to the current escalation. I think the fact that the U.S. chose to jump to the top of this escalatory ladder by targeting Soleimani surprised many in the U.S., but also surprised the Iranians, who did not expect that, and I think they were shocked by the fact. They mistakenly thought that the U.S., because the U.S. does not want war, that it would be deterred from taking such action. And they were proven wrong, like many others. But here we are with a game changer. This definitely is a game changer in many ways. I don't think all of them are clear to us at this point, but they will be clarified as things unfold. But we are on the verge of a major showdown between the United States and Iran, and the question is where exactly this is going to lead us. We have to realize that Soleimani was not just one more Iranian target. It was a high-value target in both practical and symbolic ways. As you mentioned, this guy commanded the Quds force in the Iranian Revolutionary Guards for well over 20 years. That force was the Iranian strategic arm tasked with advancing Iranian hegemony in across the region. He was in charge of the Lebanon file, the Syria file, the Iraq file, the Yemen file, and so on and so forth. And he was responsible for a lot of Iranian activities that we have witnessed over the last few years, including fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria. He's the one that convinced the Russians to send military troops to Syria in order to save Bashar al-Assad. He's the one that designed the plans and moved to implement them in order to turn Syria into a formidable military front against Israel, plans against which Israel pushed back militarily. He's the one that built Shiite militias across the region, and especially in Iraq. He's the one behind the popular mobilization units, which are Shiite militias with a formal stamp of the Iraqi government, but subordinate to Iraq, to Iran. He meddled in the politics of Iran and Lebanon. He's the one behind the building of Hezbollah with well over 100,000 rockets. He's the one that was behind supporting the Houthis in the fight against Saudi Arabia and the Yemeni government. And he's the one that armed Jihad Islami and other Palestinian factions in Gaza. In a way, he integrated strategic, military, and terrorist dimensions, and he integrated what Iran was doing in all of these theaters in the region. So definitely, the fact that he departed the scene is a game changer, and things will unfold from now on in a very different way, in my opinion.
So if I can ask you the big question, how do you anticipate Iran will react? How might they seek their revenge?
First, there's no doubt that Iran will react. They are not only saying it, but I think it's evident that they have to respond, having lost Soleimani. They can't just move on as if nothing has happened, and we should expect a violent Iranian response. I think the Iranian dilemma is how exactly to respond in a way that, on the one hand, will send a very strong message, I think humiliating message to the Americans, at the same time not escalate to war, because Iran does not want war. I think Iran realizes that if it escalates to war with the United States, it stands a lot to lose. Iran is under very heavy economic pressure, the pressure of sanctions, and that is exacting a toll. I don't think the Iranians right now, given all their problems, including domestic problems and demonstrations against them across the region, have a high appetite for war right now. So if I had to bet, my bet would be that Iran would focus its response against American military targets in Iraq. The response would be in Iraq, because he was eliminated in Iraq by the United States openly, and it'll be against the United States in Iraq. My assessment is that Iran will focus its response, at least in the near foreseeable future, on attaining two strategic goals. And I'm talking about strategic goals, not merely tactical goals of killing Americans or destroying an American embassy and so on. Obviously, There's a long list of American targets in the region. They can just choose, be it an embassy or military bases or whatever. But I think they will focus on two strategic targets. The first strategic target is to get the U.S. military out of Iraq. And that, I think, they will try and do and try and achieve through a combination of violent pressures on the ground, terror attacks, firing rockets and so on. It could be through their proxy militias. There are many of them in Iraq. So that American soldiers will be killed. We could go back to a terror campaign against U.S. military presence, the kind of which we've seen not long ago in Iraq. There are over 5,000 American troops in Iraq, and so they provide a lot of targets to Iran and its proxies. But it will not be only a military campaign. There will also be a political campaign. And we already see the beginning of that campaign, getting the Iraqi government to force the Americans out of Iraq, the American military. So we've seen today the Iraqi parliament adopt a resolution calling on the Iraqi government to bring an end to foreign military presence in Iraq, and they obviously mean the Americans. There has been a motion in the Iraqi parliament to that end over the last year, but it was blocked for at least three times for very good reasons, because Iraq still depends on the United States in many ways, economically and security-wise. The Americans train Iraqi forces, the Americans are an essential support for the Iraqi army in fighting ISIS in Iraq. There are still thousands of ISIS activists in Iraq. They don't have a territorial stronghold, but they move to a kind of an underground mode of operation, and there are numerous terror attacks carried out by ISIS activists in Iraq to this day. So Iraq definitely needs the United States, and that's why these motions were blocked in the Iraqi parliament and by the Iraqi prime minister. However, I believe that the balance of power inside Iraq changed, and today there is a majority for ousting the U.S. forces from Iraq. And the fact is that the one who led the Iraqi parliament in this motion today was the Iraqi prime minister, who last year was against such this motion. So I think the combination of violent pressure on the ground together with a political measure by the Iraqi parliament, followed by the Iraqi government, probably, will move in the direction of pushing U.S. military presence out of. And this is something that Iranians can present as a strategic defeat to the United States and a proper response to the targeting of Soleimani. And if the Iraqi government annuls the current agreement between the U.S. and Iraq as regards the deployment of U.S. military in Iraq, I think the U.S. government will have no choice but to comply with that. Obviously, Iraq will pay a price for that. But I think for Iran, this could be, of course, a game changer in the sense that it will leave room for them to assert more influence inside Iraq and to be able to claim that this is a humiliating defeat to the United States. The second strategic goal, which I believe the Iranians will try to achieve now, is to deflect attention from the demonstration against the Iranian role in Iraq, inside Iran itself, also in Lebanon, but especially in Iraq. And I want to emphasize what's happening in Iraq, because for weeks now we've seen mass demonstrations in Iraq, cross-sectarian demonstrations, first against the corrupt, dysfunctional sectarian system, but no less important against Iran itself and its role in Iraq, because demonstrators blame Iran for Iraq's plight, for everything that's happening there. I think in a way Iran overstretched itself And the demonstrators are mainly Shiites in Shiite area, and they burned Iranian consulates in Shiite cities in Najaf, in Karbala, in Assyria, and elsewhere. And I think this is a huge challenge for Iran, and they will probably use the new showdown with the United States in order to deflect attention. Obviously, there is a potential for escalation here, because the question is, if the Iran takes violent actions, violent measures against Americans, how will the United States respond? As I noted earlier, hitting Americans is an American red line, so they will have to respond. But over the long term, I think we may paradoxically see this new situation ultimately leading to the U.S. reducing its presence in Iraq rather than increasing it. Right now, you see the U.S. sending more troops to its embassy, to its bases, and so on, in preparation for a potential escalation. But I think Trump's instinct, the instinct in America, the instinct of this administration, is to decrease the American military footprint in the region as a whole, and that will include Iraq. So one could expect over time that the U.S. will reduce its presence, either because the Iraqis, as I noted earlier, will ask them to do so, or because they will themselves decide to do so. We've seen Trump doing it in Syria. They may reduce in Iraq itself. And he could say, you know, we took out Soleimani, now we can leave. Just as he said, we took out Baghdadi in Syria, we can leave Syria. So over the long term, I think in a paradoxical way, we may see this leading ultimately to a reduction of the U.S. military presence. It doesn't mean that the U.S. Will not continue to take action against Iranian targets. In a way, if they leave, their hands will be freer, because one of the constraining elements in American decision-making process until now was the fact that there are over 5,000 American troops in Iraq, and the Americans were afraid that they will be targeted by Iran. But if some of them or all of them leave, they will have a freer hand in targeting some Iranian proxies or Iranian targets as a whole in Iraq.
And just wider afield in the region beyond Iraq, how do you feel the kind of the capacity, the capability of the Al-Quds force will change as a result of Soleimani's death? And are we likely to see a change in strategy from the Al-Quds force going forward?
I do not expect a change in strategy. Strategy is determined by the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. And I think the motivation, the will to continue in the same path will persist, will be there. If we see change, I don't think it will be in strategy, more likely in the way they implement their strategy, because Soleimani was a very capable driving force who, as I said earlier, could integrate various dimensions and various theaters into one coherent picture. And while his deputy, who assumed his place, Ismail Khani, served as his deputy for the last 22 years since Soleimani was appointed as commander of the Quds Force, so he's well-versed in everything that Soleimani did. However, I'm not sure he has the same personality, the same charisma, the same ability to integrate everything into a coherent picture. And to the same ability to maneuver inside the Iranian system. And Soleimani was very close to the supreme leader. He was directly subordinate to him. So it remains to be seen whether his replacement will be able to fill his shoes. I'm not sure of that, but we don't know him enough, so we'll just have to wait and see. But As noted, the Al-Quds force is in charge of advancing Iranian interests and hegemony in, across the region, and they could choose where to operate, in which theater to operate. My estimate, as I laid it out, was that first they will focus on Iraq, but they could do other things as well against U.S. Targets or American proxies in, or allies in the region, either in the Gulf or against Israel. All of it is definitely possible. All of it is within the realm of responsibility of the Quds Force, and they have a long menu of targets. It's quite amusing to see them speaking about 35 American targets plus some Israeli targets in the region, and Trump responding by tweeting that the Americans have 52 Iranian targets, indicating that we're talking about targets also in Iran itself, and I wouldn't rule out that these targets or this list also includes some nuclear facilities. So right now you have kind of the two parties positioning themselves towards a potential escalation, which both of them want to avert. But there's always room for miscalculation. And each one of them calculates that if he does not respond, he will encourage the other one to further escalate. And so they feel they have to respond. This is part of this potential for escalation.
And one final question. We've discussed before the Israeli concern that it's acted upon now probably hundreds of times in the last few years, striking against these, the proxies, mostly in Syria, but also in northern Iraq, against the convoys and weapons storage, and even the factories making the upgrading on precision weapons. How much do you think this is likely to change Israeli policy as a result of this the strike on Soleimani?
I don't think it'll change Israeli policy. What we've seen over the last few years is, given the fact that Iran designed plans to turn Syria into a formidable military front facing Israel, with thousands of rockets, with tens of thousands of Shiite legions, proxy forces subordinate to Iran, and with many, many other elements. And Israel decided to push back militarily and has been doing so for the last 3 years with quite a bit of success. As you noted, Israel went after Iranian targets hundreds of times in Syria, and we did not escalate to war because we managed to deter Iran, because Iran understood that Israel is determined and will not stop, and they blink first. So there is an independent cycle of tension between Israel and Iran, independent of the U.S.-Iran tension, which has been going on and will probably continue to go on. And perhaps Israel will feel emboldened by the fact that Soleimani is out, and will continue and push further against the Iranian military deployment and entrenchment in Syria, and especially against the precision project, that project designed to turn a portion of Hezbollah's arsenal of dumb rockets into high precision ones. That will probably continue. The question is whether Iran will choose to respond to America also against Israel, and which is also possible because in their eyes, it's all part of one picture. Right now, I don't think we are at the focus of the Iranian response. I believe, as I said, it's more focused on the U.S. in Iraq. And they speak about us occasionally, mentioning that among the targets are also Israeli targets, be it Tel Aviv or Haifa. But I don't think they are focused on us right now. However, one cannot rule out that at one point these two cycles of tension between the U.S. and Iran, between the Israel and Iran, will overlap. And that if things seriously escalate between the United States and Iran beyond what is currently in the cards or what appears desirable to both parties, I think at that point Iran could also escalate by responding against Israel. I don't believe they will rush to do so because they know that Israel is determined and will respond very strongly and perhaps in a disproportionate way. They know that Israel, unlike Saudi Arabia, will respond strongly. When Saudi Arabia's biggest oil field was attacked, the Saudis did nothing. They essentially waited for the United States to do something. But Israel is different and the Iranians know it. However, as I said, there's first an independent potential of escalation between us and Iran, notwithstanding what's happening between the United States and Iran, but also if things escalate between the U.S. and Iran, it could also at one point also impact the Israeli-Iranian cycle, and we could see Iran also trying to respond against us. That's why you see now a level of preparedness in Israel, kind of alert, taking no chances, and I think for good reason.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much indeed for your insight and analysis today. Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and let's hope for a happy 2020.
Indeed. Thank you.